One of the ways that we actually are able to determine herd composition, how many yearlings, year and a half, two and a half, three and a half, four and a half we have, is through a technique using deer jawbones. And it's not that difficult. Jerry, could you grab one of those jawbones there and show us what you look at when you go about aging a deer?
This particular jaw is from a fawn, and I use it to point out a fairly unique tooth that's found in young animals. Basically, a deer's jaw has three premolars and three molars. In a fawn, however, you have the first premolar, the second premolar, and this three cusp tooth here is the third premolar, and there's only one molar that's erupted from the back. When you see a jaw like this with nice sharp points on a three cusp premolar, is clearly a fawn. You can compare that to a yearling, an animal that's 18 months of age, and you can see the same two premolars, which are milk teeth, and here's the third premolar, but you can see there's considerably more wear on it. And now you have the two molars and the third molar that's erupting in the back. At 2 years of age, the most obvious change is that three cusped premolar is not there anymore. It's replaced by a two cusp. All of the premolars are sharp. All of the molars behind are fairly sharp as well. When you move from a two-year-old to a three-year-old, now you're basically looking at nothing more than wear on the tooth. You can see the same three premolars, but you'll notice that the first molar now has a great deal of dentine showing inside of the enamel.
That's the dark part.
That's the dark part. Basically, it'll be wider than the enamel on either side of it. That'll not be the case on the other teeth behind it. So a three-year-old deer will show wear on that first molar. 4 years of age is one that's missed a lot because it's subtle, and the alignment of the teeth will affect the wear, and it'll really show up in this age class. You still see the three premolars. Here's the wear on the first molar. Now you have the same kind of wear, dentine wider than the enamel, in the second molar. And if you look at this back cusp on the last tooth, you'll see there's a very distinct slope to that tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Very characteristic of a four-year-old deer. 5 year-old deer, essentially all of the molars will show that very dramatic dentine to enamel ratio, and the back cusp will be very horizontal, very, very dished out. 5 year-olds are fairly easy to recognize. They're probably as easy as any of the others. 6 is where they're really starting to show the wear. This first molar is essentially dished out, and it's essentially not useful to the deer for chewing anymore. This is why when you're looking at antlers and weights, you'll see a steady increase both in antler size and weight until 6 years of age, and then it begins to taper off. 7-year-old deer tend not to be as heavy. Antler's not quite as dramatic, and it's because of the loss of the wear use of that tooth.
Of course, by this time, these teeth are getting down towards the gum line, so there's much less.
Right.
You're affecting their ability to actually grind and digest their food.
You can actually see the gum line here. So as I said, when you lose the first molar, they start affecting their whole physiology from there. And 7 years old in this little slope, I mean, it would be hollowed out at 8 years of age. That one's pretty hollowed out. And after 8 years of age, it's really not possible to age them very accurately at all.
Yeah, I understand. Now, you were pointing out something interesting on antlers to me before the show. And I hadn't realized this before. I've kind of been in the business for a while, but I never realized this.
It's a physiology thing.
New trick.
Yeah, new trick. Deer, whitetail antlers are kind of interesting because they grow from a single main beam. And as it's growing, it creates a protein matrix, which is then later ossified into bone. And when it's actually growing, you can probably see this artery line.
It's like a groove on the back of the...
Yeah, it's a groove on the antler. Well, that's an artery scar that grows up the tines all the way around. The thing that's interesting to me, at least, is that if you measured from the base up this artery line to the tip of this tine, and then made the same measurement along the artery to the tip of this tine, you'd find they're about the same length.
Hmm.
In fact, they're almost exactly the same length. No matter how many tines are on that antler, if you measure along the artery to the tip, those lengths will be the same. Now, the fact is that some animals, the artery will be up here, some will be here, and I've seen it actually move along there. So that it affects the lengths of antlers on either side. One of the things that deer use antlers for, obviously, is sparring. When it's in velvet and it's still in the protein matrix stage, they don't touch anything with those antlers. I mean, they avoid it. They don't fight with them. They kind of shake them and display each other. But one of the real aggressive displays that bucks use to each other is to hook into their flank. So, for instance, the right antler will be they'll reach back and hook into their right flank. As this antler is growing, the tip of the growing point is essentially just solid capillaries. Circulation is poor. The more they hook, the more it stimulates the capillary action on that surface, and the longer that diameter will be maintained out the time.
Mm.
So if you have bucks that are very aggressive and do a lot of dominance posturing to one another, they'll do a lot of hooking, and the result is they'll have bigger antlers.
Interesting.
From the exercise. So.
Well, what I'd like to do is to finish up this section is to talk a little bit about predictions for the different regions in the state. What do you see how do you see the deer herds acting and reacting in the different parts of the state as far as the numbers that are coming in?